things. Now this Wednesday, we're going to have a Christmas message Wednesday night. We will have our regular Bible class, Bible study on Thursday. Obviously, Christmas is on Saturday. On Sunday, we're going to be starting a five-part series in Romans. I just wanted to kind of keep you abreast of where we're going from here. And in a few minutes, we'll be starting the prep school presentation. But I just wanted to say a few words before we get started. And one of the principles that we touch on quite often is the principle of focus. And I was thinking about this earlier this week, and it kind of came to mind that I hear so many stories about people this time of the year who are suffering from depression, from whatever kind of negative thoughts, negative circumstances. So many people commit suicide this type of the year. And I can't help but think that part of it comes back to focus, you know. And I said it before, we are a very, very blessed group of individuals here in the United States, and Christians even more so blessed. What God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, just totally blows your mind. But, you know, more people need to focus on these things. A lot of times this year, around this time of the year, toward the end of December, I'll hear certain news stations, they'll do like a recap of the year. And I was thinking about that. How could we recap our year? I'm getting to a point here. I read an article earlier this week about that, and the article goes something like this: Rioting in the streets, suicide bombers, deranged gunmen performing random acts of violence, brutal murders, rapes, kidnappings, the continuing threat of COVID, looming inflation, the possession of nuclear weapons by rogue dictators. Now, at the same time that these things are going on, we have man's futile attempts to establish peace in this world, all the while rejecting the peace that God provided for us all. So, when you think about blessings, where are the blessings in that? Well, it comes back to focus. John wrote his gospel with focus in mind. The focus was on Jesus Christ. And he started it appropriately. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him, not in the world, not in our parents, not in anything else, but in Him is the life. And the life lights the lives of men. And John went on to say, the light shines in the darkness. Now, that's a key phrase in the world that we live in today. We live in a dark world. We have a darkness in our souls that's every bit as dark as this world, every bit as evil as Satan. But because the light came into the world, we have peace with God. Paul brought this out in Romans 5. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we focus? What do we focus on? The things of the world? No, Jesus Christ needs to be our focus. We have peace with God throughout all of eternity. But the question we always ask is, what about time? What about now, the world we live in right now? You know, in Matthew 11, Jesus started out Matthew 11 with a tribute toward John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist came into this world not eating and not drinking. The people rejected him. Jesus, on the other hand, came into this world eating and drinking. The people rejected him. The people were like silly, silly little children. They didn't know what they wanted. They rejected the one for one thing. They rejected the other for the opposite thing. The leaders at that time were too proud to humble themselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. They rejected him. At that point, Jesus hit them with kind of a, what I would call like a last chance statement. And it has to do with how you find peace in this world. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, what do we focus on this time of the world? We focus on our own problems, our own situation, the world, and we get depressed. Jesus says, "Come to me." The solution to every problem that ever arose in man is Jesus Christ. The cross was a place for criminals. The Romans invented crucifixion as a horrible, horrible punishment for criminals. But Jesus Christ became a criminal. He became sin on our behalf. He went to the cross and took our place. We can experience true peace through Christ. It comes down to a matter of focus. We receive the greatest gift of all gifts from Jesus Christ. At this time, you talked about gift giving. Jesus Christ gave us the greatest of all gifts. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. We didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. Our salvation is a gift from God. Maybe not the cross, but Jesus himself, maybe Jesus is who we should be focused on in this world. That is the solution to our problems. And at this point, I'll turn this over to the prep school.
Welcome to prep school presentation. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this lesson. Please allow us to take in your word. Thank you for sending down your son to die on the cross for our sins, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The birth of man's Savior, more than 2,000 years ago, is one of the most pivotal events to have occurred in the universe. This appearance of Jesus, sometimes referred to as an introduction, is an eternal witness of perfect love. It shows that God's love is so profound that he was willing to make the greatest sacrifice. Through the birth of his son, he takes the greatest risk in order that his greatest creation could live forever with him. Today, we will share with you a historical and biblical proof of Christ's birth.
Speaking about why Jesus had to be born as a man. Jesus was born as a man to help every woman and man by dying on the cross for their sins. He had to die for our sins because he loves us and he wants us to go to heaven with him. We have sins in us, so we could not go to heaven without praying for our sins. Since we could not die for our sins, God had to send his son to die on the cross for us. Satan was trying to stop Jesus from being born, but he failed and Jesus was born.
Can I go? I will be speaking about the Old Testament prophecies of Jesus. So many times has the Old Testament predicted the birth of Christ, like Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. He will rule over us and he will be called Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God. He will also be called Father Who Lives Forever and Prince Who Brings Peace. There will be no limits to how great his authority is. The peace he brings will never end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will make the kingdom strong and secure. His rule will be based on what is fair and right. It will last forever. The Lord's great love will make sure that happens. He rules over all. In Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born from a virgin. He said that the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Micah chapter 5, verses 2, Micah prophesied that Jesus would come from Bethlehem. He said, "The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you might not be an important town in the nation of Judah, but out of you will come for me, a ruler over Israel." His family line goes back to the early years of the nation. It goes all the way back to the days of long ago. Micah predicted the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem 800 years before he came. Isn't it crazy how God told all these prophets that there is going to be a man that was going to come and die and save them all from their sins if they believed in him? And that was hundreds of years before Jesus was born.
I'm speaking on the prophecy of Christ's birth in the Old Testament. "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb, and joy for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken by the Lord.'" I have three questions. What was the fruit of Mary's womb?
Jesus.
Correct. What was Mary in a hurry to do? What?
Visit Elizabeth?
Yes, correct. Bonus.
What was that?
Bonus. Who leapt in Elizabeth's womb?
John the Baptist.
Correct. Turn to your Bibles. Luke 1:26. Is everyone there? "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at the statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Question. What month was it that the angel went to Mary? Sophie.
The sixth.
Correct. He will be called the Son of the Most?
I.
Correct. And his kingdom will have no?
No.
Correct.
I'm speaking on the location of Christ's birth. Jesus was born in a real place in this world. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. The city of Bethlehem is located about 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem and is the birthplace of our Savior Jesus Christ. Bethlehem, meaning house of bread, was also the well-known city of David. It was here in young David's hometown that the prophet Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. The geography of the region house, Mediterranean, sitting about 2,600 feet above the Mediterranean Sea. The climate is Mediterranean climate, but it is milder because of its nearness to the sea. The normal summer temperature is 73 degrees, and the winter average around 57 degrees. Bethlehem is surrounded by fertile fields, vineyards, and fig and olive orchards. Why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In the book of Luke, Joseph and Mary's trip to Bethlehem is done in order to satisfy a command that all people return to their ancestral towns to be counted and taxed. Since Mary was pregnant with Jesus at the time the command had to be carried out, this explains why Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem.
The genealogy of Jesus. The New Testament starts out with the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 1 contains the genealogy of Jesus. Why does the New Testament start out this way? Although it may seem confusing, these genealogies are very important, because it shows that God kept his promises in covenant, and it shows the prophecies about the Savior were fulfilled. Jesus is the Savior who was promised throughout history. The genealogy of Jesus in Matthew and in Luke show him as the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and eventually David. Men to whom these prophecies were made, God promises Abraham that all nations will be blessed through his offspring, which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All nations will be blessed in you." By reading these genealogies, we also see that Jesus was the direct descendant of King David. Jesus' genealogy is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises concerning David's line. The promised Messiah would be the descendant of David, and one day would rule over David's throne. 2 Samuel 7:13. He shall build a house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Isaiah 9:6-7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increases of his government or of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. Jesus Christ has fulfilled these and will eventually fulfill every messianic prophecy in the scripture. He is the promised Messiah, the descendant of Abraham and David, our Savior who gave us his life to redeem us from our sins.
I am reading about Christ's birth from the Bible. It is important to hear God's word directly from the Bible. Now, in those days, a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus said a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in an inn. In the same region, there was some shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, for great joy which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered all the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all the things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, just as had been told to them.
I'm going to be closing in prayer now. God, thank you for the lesson that was just taught. Please help us to understand the lesson, and thank you for us being able to gather in this building. And thank you for all that you have done for us. And thank you for watching over us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for coming to Prep School Christmas Lesson. Have a Merry Christmas.
Excellent. Excellent job. You know, as these guys were speaking here, one of the principles that came to my mind has to do with the bigger picture. You've heard me talk about the bigger picture in the past. When the Jews came back from exile in Babylon to rebuild the temple, they faced a lot of opposition. There were people in the land who didn't want the temple to get built. So they were threatening the builders. Zerubbabel was one of the leaders of the builders. But God came to Zerubbabel and said that Zerubbabel was part of a much bigger picture. The temple that they were building was just a prophecy concerning a future temple that would be built in the millennium when Jesus Christ would enter that temple. What you've done today are playing part of a bigger picture. A picture that's going to be completed when Jesus Christ returns. And that goes to That goes with all of you who are here. We're all playing a part, a very small part, in a much bigger picture. And we will all be blessed for that. You did an excellent job. Is anyone speaking? Are we done? Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to gather together this morning with members of the royal family and the body of Christ. And thank you for the amazing things that you've taught us and caused us to know, the fantastic things you've shown us about your plan, about your grace, and the greatest of all gifts, grace gifts, the gift of your precious Son, who came to die for us on the cross. And through his unbelievable person and work, he's opened the gates of heaven to anyone who believes. We thank you, Father, for the greatest of all gifts, and we pray that you empower us to be lights in this world, hopefully to bring other people to Christ as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.